Doing this final review of Romans chapter 7, my friend, join me as we look at this mysterious Paul, who is the man who said, I know that nothing good dwells in me, and that I am sold under sin. Colin Cook here and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. This is a broadcast on the gospel, the good news about Jesus, and how we train our faith in the good news so that we can face addictions like drugs or alcohol or food issues or heterosexual or homosexual addiction or worry. Remember that worry, the worry cycle, is an addictive cycle, my friend. And also how we can face the troubles of our life knowing that Jesus still is with us. God has not abandoned us. The power of sin is already broken, even though it still seems to be having its way with us, until we learn by faith to break into these various struggles. All right, we're looking at Romans chapter 7. We're reviewing this now. Paul gives us this wonderful chapter, which is our marching orders for freedom from the torment of the mind. We are declared dead to the law and delivered from the law. We talked about that, we reviewed it, and if you have any doubts about all of this message and this stuff, then go to my website, faithquestradio.com, and you can listen to all these broadcasts again when they're posted up there. faithquestradio.com. Now then, Paul makes it very clear by his own life why we have to be delivered from the law, and I alluded to this yesterday. As you know, there are many Christians who look down upon legalist Christians, that is, people who uphold the law as if they could be saved by it, and they look down upon them with contempt. They do so because they have an attitude that says, well, the law deals only with externals and trivia, and I have gone beyond that now because I'm a spiritual being. I used to be a law keeper years ago, somebody might say, or a legalist, but I have gone beyond that now. I'm a spiritual being. Is that the right line of process or progress we should be making? No, it is not. It is dead wrong. For Paul does not say, the law is carnal and I am spiritual. He says, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The reason we walk away by faith from legalism is not that we're fed up with the law and we're sick and tired of it, because the law will clobber us if we think that, but rather we have been delivered from the law by the body of Jesus Christ who died in our place. You see, Jesus himself affirms that the law is spiritual when he said, you have heard it said, you shall not kill, but I tell you, whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Obviously, Jesus is going to the real essence of the law there, and implying and stating that it deals with matters of the heart. The trouble is, our hearts are corrupt. They are sold under sin. They are carnal. And so we have to be delivered from what is condemning us if we are to survive at all. And the good news is that Jesus, our Savior, has delivered us from the law. Not simply the condemnation of the law, and delivered us from the law, and we are dead to the law. Now, Paul makes this very, very obvious by talking about himself. And he says, what I will not do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, I do. In other words, he starts talking about the internal conflict within himself. You say, well, wait a minute, this is Paul. He's the Christian. How can he have an internal conflict? Hello, hello. Wake up to reality, my friend. Everybody has internal conflicts. Good grief, we're not saints yet. There are people who cannot stand the idea that Paul had internal conflicts. That would make him a sinner like the rest of us. Well, duh, yes. Which is exactly why he rejoices in the good news. Paul was not walking in his resurrected life that is given to him physically, ontologically, at the second coming of Jesus Christ. He was walking in his natural human nature, but by faith. And we have to understand that about ourselves, my friend. There is an internal conflict within us. This is what Paul says as well in Galatians. Chapter 5 there in verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." That's a statement that all of us need to be reminded by. We should not be surprised at the war within. The thing is, my friend, we are not condemned by it. We are not under the judgment of it, for the law we are dead to, we are delivered from. But to acknowledge that there is a conflict is very vital to our honesty. Paul could say as a converted man, "I am carnal, sold under sin." Yet as a converted man, he could also say, "I agree with the law that it is good." He could also say, "I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." But he knew himself. So, my friend, one thing that is so vital for us to understand is this, that Paul is not talking about, well, the issue is not, is this passage talking about Paul as a converted man or an unconverted man? He's talking about both of himself, because the truth is, Paul is not giving here a before and after story, but rather who he is in the realm of the natural self and who he is in the realm of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of Christ. You and I live, as it were, between two worlds. We have 2 feet on 2 planets. We are in the kingdom of Adam, in which sin and death reign. But the good news is that sin and death are not charged against us, and nor is the kingdom of Adam, for we are counted as being, by faith, in the kingdom of Christ. So we live in two worlds. This is essential for us to understand, so that we don't panic, so that we don't get into a state where we think, "Oh my goodness, what's wrong with me? Surely I'm not a Christian if these things and temptations and struggles and defeats are facing me daily." Paul is one of those rare Christians, regrettably rare, he should not be rare, that can say, "I'm carnal. I'm sold under sin." He knows what his human nature is about. It has no goodness in it whatsoever. He's not deluded. He's not one of these Christians who think a little bit more of a touch-up, a little bit of a spot of paint here and a spot of paint there, and I'll be perfect. A little bit more work, and I'll be a perfect overcomer, and I will have overcome all sin. Rather, he keeps affirming who he is in Christ. Now, does that lead you, my friend, to have a totally broken down, endlessly debauched life on the one hand, and at the other hand saying, "But I'm a Christian anyway, I'm in Christ, and it doesn't matter, and I'm saved anyway, and I can do what I want"? That's what some people charge us with who hear this teaching. They are very disreputable, in my opinion. They should not be talking like that out of the top of their heads. They need to put a cap on the hole that's there. The truth is this, my friend. What Paul is saying is that the kingdom of Jesus Christ invades the natural kingdom of Adam. And as we have faith and train our faith, slowly we invade that broken down mind of ours, which is endlessly telling us lies, and we learn to subdue it. We learn to put it in its place. We learn to say, "I will not listen to you." And so, no, we don't have 2 equal forces here. The force of Satan in his kingdom of Adam and the force of Christ. No, we have Christ who has gained victory over the forces of evil. We live in his victory. We do not count our defeats anymore as ours. And as we do so, faith mounts an assault on the kingdom of Adam. It does not remove it, for the kingdom of Adam will not be removed until the second coming of Jesus Christ, when all things will be made new, but it subdues it, bit by bit, and let no man condemn another man in regard to Is your bit bigger than mine? Or is my bit bigger than yours? All of that is sheer nonsense. And so Paul is able to say, you see, oh, wretched man that I am. He's still able to admit that he's a wretched man, but that he's delivered from that wretchedness through the body of Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, he's able to say, there is therefore now no condemnation. See, I've just jumped into Romans chapter 8 there, verse 1. Because Romans 8, verse 1, or rather Romans 8, is directly linked to the freedom from the law in Romans chapter 7. Do you see what good news is here for us? How kind of our Heavenly Father to be so concerned about the human race, knowing as he does that our minds torment us, and knowing as he does that we cannot possibly live with that torment. And so he sets up, he and the Son and the Holy Spirit, a plan of salvation, a plan that will set us free while we're here on this earth still from the torment of our minds by the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, became the Son of Man and took the burdens of all humanity upon himself and was executed for it. We therefore are freed from the condemnation of the law, the demands that the law has that we be holy by the law's power. We can't do it, but Jesus did it, and therefore we count his righteousness as ours. This, my friend, is the good news. This releases us from torment. This allows us not to be afraid of our Heavenly Father anymore. And so we walk into his throne room with our hands in Jesus' hands, and we say, "Hello, Father. I'm glad at last to be in your kingdom. I'm glad that at last there is no uncertainty of where I will end up, for Jesus has been and become my destiny." What's your plan for October 29, my friend, apart from being at home and giving candies to the kids as they come to the door? Well, throughout the day, you could join me at my seminar coming up on October 29 in Lakewood, How to Counsel Yourself Through Romans Chapter 5. I welcome you to this seminar, beginning at 9 o'clock in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, so you'll be able to get home to give the kids their candy. 3:30 in the afternoon, and break for lunch. We'll go to one of the restaurants nearby if you want to, or you can just bring your packed lunch, whichever. And the seminar is at La Quinta Inn. That's 7190 West Hampden Avenue, on the south frontage road of West Hampden Avenue between Wadsworth and Sheridan. Admission is by donation, my friends. Bring whatever you can. If a generous donation is within your reach, please do so. It helps the annual budget of the ministry. And if you can't bring a generous donation, well, it's generous to you probably, $5 or $10 if you're short, and nobody's going to look at what you put in the envelope. So thank you so much for your donations. Now, friends, let me remind you of the seminar again. How to Counsel Yourself Through Romans Chapter 5. This chapter will straighten out your head. It will enable you to start thinking right instead of wrong, thinking straight instead of crooked, thinking soberly and with hope and peace instead of in despair and fear and guilt. So I invite you to join me. We are training our minds through Romans chapter 5 at this coming seminar. Okay, I'll see you then, my friend, and I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.